I was born at the end of the Second World War, and I don't think the Altons ever came off of ration, to be honest. I mean, it was just a life of miserable poverty.
Joe Orton's sister, Leonie Orton Barnett.
He hated that class system where if you didn't have money or you didn't have any position in society, you were deemed as nothing. I mean, he talks about smashing his way through into society.
We're entering the reading room of the archive.
In between Leonie's entertaining Orton anecdotes, Dr. Emma Parker of Leicester University showed me around the Orton exhibition she has curated, drawing on the playwright's extensive archive.
What have we got here?
Well, this is the scrapbook. This is a lovely page. It says Mr. Sloan and Joe's cut out various words from different newspapers and stuck them in to make a collage. So, back by public demand. Violent, exciting, crazy.
Looking back over 50 years of entertaining Mr. Sloan, what effect did it have on future playwriting in Britain?
Pinter's The Homecoming is obviously influenced by entertaining Mr. Sloan. There are such interesting parallels. Carol Churchill, Martin McDonagh, Hanif Qureshi. All of these playwrights are shaped by Orton in some way.
Not long before he is murdered by his lover, Kenneth Halliwell, in 1967, Joe Orton told the BBC that he thought a playwright's purple patch tended to be rather short.
It's like a boxer. A boxer's career is usually 10 years, and then they start to get punchy, which I think playwrights do as well. Shakespeare's career was pretty short when you really look at it, and he wrote some pretty rum plays at the beginning. I hope I've never written anything as bad as some of the early Shakespeare's.
Coming from a working class background and being a gay writer writing at a time when homosexuality was illegal, these do shape him in profound ways. The sharpness of his humour, the targets of attack in his work. Entertaining Mr. Sloan is a scathing satire on class, social climbers and social pretense.
I thought it was my mother on stage, to be honest. Kathy introduces Sloane to her lounge and she says, oh, these are my winter curtains. My summer ones are more of a chintz. And that just sounded like my mother, sort of thing my mother would say.
Some people wear a blonde wig and do it all floozy, but on Joe's instructions, I had brown hair and looked rather prim.
I've been doing my washing today and I haven't a stitch on.
Sheila Hancock starred in the play on Broadway in 1965 and then in the ITV Playhouse production a few years later.
I'm in the rude under this dress. I only tell you because you're bound to have noticed. No, don't move, dear. Lie still. Give the blood time to steady itself.
The temptation with that part is to try and look sort of pseudo-glamorous. And you should look grotesque. You shouldn't look in the least bit sexy in that bit. And he was right about the wig. Immediately you became this outrageous ordinary woman. A dreadful woman.
You'll have me naked on the floor if I give you a chance.
It had an elegance of language which was almost like Jane Austen, but it was dealing with something really rather provocative.
It was the now legendary impresario Sir Michael Codron who saw the potential of Orton and his play Entertaining Mr. Sloan. He committed to producing the show at the Arts Theatre and then in the West End, but not before making an important suggestion to the then unknown playwright.
When I read the play, it finished with Mr. Sloan murdering Dada. And I said to Joe, yes, I think we can do the play, but it ought to have a more elegant ending. And he said, well, why don't the brother and the sister share Mr. Sloan, which got the play labelled as a dirty play. Yeah, I'm responsible for that.
And in 1964, that very notion...
Yes, was fairly shocking. What one will never know is if Joe had lived, whether he would have remained as equally as iconoclastic, because now things are so much more accepted.